strong, spiritually strong, strong in faith, strong in grace, strong in knowledge. Brother Joe Terrell once said, Christians and preachers are like a red wasp. They never are any bigger than when they're first born. There was a time when I thought I was strong. If there was anything on this earth religious folks could be against, I was against it. Any way I could stand out in the crowd, I stood out in the crowd. I thought I was strong. Religious zealots. Now listen to me. Religious zealots are never strong. I've never seen the program. I understand a program on TV called The Weakest Link. They're the weakest link. They always are the weakest link and think they're strongest. I think I've told you before, back in 1989 or 1990, I was preaching out in California, and a young man came up to me and wanted to know if I could answer a few questions for him. He needed some help. And I said, well, of course. And the next words out of his mouth were these. You should know that I'm really strong in the Lord. I smiled and said, well, I don't see how I can help you because I'm not. And I walked off and got me a bite to eat. Since that time, I believe God's made that young man strong in the Lord. If the Lord will be pleased to speak through His servant today, I have a message for you who are not so strong, for you who are weak. I want to talk to you about the strength God gives. And you'll find our text in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 12. Now, I don't need to remind you that Zechariah 10 is a prophecy about the salvation the triune God performs for and gives to chosen sinners in Christ. This prophecy of Zechariah describes that great work of grace that Christ, who is just and having salvation, Zion's King, our Lord Jesus, describing that salvation that He performs when He comes and speaks peace to the sinners and sends forth prisoners out of the pit by the blood of His covenant. When He hisses for and gathers His own elect, whom He has redeemed, He declares in verse 12, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in His name, saith the Lord. What precious words of grace. How sure and certain they are. These are the words not of a man, but of God our Savior, and they are certain to come to pass. He says, I will strengthen them, and they shall walk. His promises are all yea and amen. That is, they certainly are to be believed because they certainly shall come to pass. The strength which God promises to give to His elect is Jesus Christ Himself. Christ is the strength as well as the righteousness of His redeemed. He is the strength given and the strengthener of His people. Now let me say this at the outset. If at any time we are strengthened in grace, strengthened in faith, strengthened in love, strengthened in understanding, strengthened in anything having to do with anything spiritual, it is the work of God our Savior. If I am at any time drawn to God in sweet fellowship and communion, if at any time as I attempt to utter words of prayer, my heart goes out to God in prayer, the only sweet, constraining, irresistible force that accomplishes that is God Himself drawing me. If at any time you enjoy some fresh, delightful revelation of Christ, if at any time your heart is lifted a little above this earth, if at any time you're enabled to walk with God just for a little while in sweet communion, I'm talking about manifest sweet communion, it is because He has drawn you to Himself. Not because you have exercised diligently, not because you have performed the right things for yourself. I was preparing this message and I've been working on it a while and read lots of things. And folks always seem to just determined, always somehow to get something in there in which the flesh can glory. Now the way you grow in strength is by exercise. Well, that's true physically, I reckon, but it's not true spiritually. You can exercise all you want, but godliness, which is just the form, the exercise, won't improve your strength. It takes something else, something you can't muster, something you can't perform. It takes God taking His Word and burning it in your heart. Not once, not twice, but as it's opened and read, it takes God meeting with His people, making the worship of His saints blessed to their souls. It takes something more than just outward exercise in religion. It takes God working in us. Always. Always. It is by the special mercy, the special grace, the distinguishing love of our Almighty Heavenly Father that Christ is ours. And as He who gives His darling Son gives with Him all things freely, He gives us here strength in Him. Our text describes the blessedness of those sinners who are the highly favored objects of God's love and grace. The objects of the Father's free, everlasting love, the Son's effectual blood atonement, and the Spirit's almighty, irresistible grace. It was God our Father, God our Savior, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who from old eternity, as the old writers used to say, contrived, that is, ordered, willed, appointed, and predestined the great work of salvation that we proclaim in the gospel. It was the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who chose Christ as our surety and our Savior, the one who would come and bear all our sins and fulfill all righteousness for us and bring us at last into heavenly glory. It is God, the blessed Spirit, the Spirit of grace and supplication, who bestows the gift and strengthens chosen sinners in Jesus Christ with salvation. What a blessed, holy, compassionate, gracious God we have. May He fulfill this promise in our hearts today. Fulfill it daily in our souls, that we may walk before Him in faith. All right, let's look at this 12th verse of Zechariah 10. The promise is written plainly. He's talking about this time when God comes in the revelation of His Son. When God comes and hisses for His own and gathers them to Himself. If the Lord God will hiss for you today, if He will gather you to Himself today, He'll fulfill this promise in you today. And He will continue to fulfill it throughout your days on this earth. If He has gathered you to Christ, this is the promise He makes to you. I will strengthen them in the Lord. And those who are strengthened in the Lord shall walk up and down in the name, or in my name, I'm sorry, in His name, saith the Lord. Now the first thing that's obvious to me as I read this passage is something that's not stated but rather is implied. And that is weakness. Those to whom this promise is made by folks who find themselves weak. Weak. There is nothing promised in this text to the strong, to the mighty. Who should give strength to the mighty? Why should strength be given to one who is not weak? Only the weak shall be made strong. I've said this repeatedly. I keep on saying it because I need to hear it myself, and you do. The Lord God, read this book carefully. When it speaks what He does, it never speaks of God giving life and death. Not one time. It never speaks of God taking men from low and lifting them up. But rather it speaks of God as being that one who kills and makes alive. Who empties and fills. Who abases and lifts up. Who strips and clothes. Who wounds and heals. I take that to be a clear indication. You will never be given life until God kills you. Oh, Brother Don, all of us are born dead. They sure are. Find me a dead fella. Find me one. You find me a sinner dead before God, I'll find you a sinner who's been made alive before God. God will never clothe you until He strips you. He will never quench your thirst until He makes you thirsty. He will never feed you till He makes you hungry. He will never fill you till He empties you. He will never exalt you with His grace till He abases you. And He will never give you strength until He makes you weak. That which needs strengthening is weakness. And weakness is what we are. And I don't know if I can stand becoming any weaker. When Paul, Saul of Tarsus, first speaks as a young apostle, a young preacher. He was a grown man, but he was a young preacher. He said, I'm less than the least of all saints. That's some statement. Hey, I'm less than the least of them. As he moved along a little bit, he said, I'm less than all the apostles. I'm the lowest of all of them. Just before he died, he wrote, I'm the chief of sinners. The more he grew, the weaker he got. Not a pretense weakness, a real weakness. The more he knew the Lord, the more convinced he was, he knew little of Him. Our Lord Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. That's another one of those statements. You'll be smart to carry that just as far as you can carry it. Without Me, you can do nothing. You can't know anything. Without Me, you can't know God. Without Me, you can't please God. Without Me, you can't approach God. Without Me, you can't walk with God. Without Me, you can be of no benefit to anyone. I am personally, always have been, a fairly strong man physically and even emotionally. But spiritually, I'm a man of utter weakness. And I thank God I'm learning something about that. Turn to the 102nd Psalm. Psalm 102. Verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto Thee. Hide not Thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline Thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Verse 10, because of Thine indignation and Thy wrath, for Thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. When Daniel saw that great vision of the Lord Jesus given to him in Daniel chapter 10, he said, there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption. My comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Do you find yourself like that? We are weak-headed. Weak-headed. I'm not talking about natural things, I'm talking about spiritual things. The head is the seat of knowledge, understanding, wisdom. The head is the seat of remembrance. The head is that which we equate with knowledge. And the fact is, with regard to this man and you, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint, so that we can understand nothing aright except Christ by His Spirit teach us. We can know nothing right except Christ by His Spirit give us understanding. And we can remember nothing properly except Christ by His Spirit call His grace, perform for us and in us to our remembrance. We are weak-headed. We have a worse problem. We're weak-hearted. Agur said, I neither learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the holy. Job said, canst thou by searching find out God? No, and we can't know Him in our hearts. The heart, oh, how weak is thine heart, saith the Lord. The seat of our affections. The heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart. The heart. Deceitful above all things. And you dead sure don't know it. Who can know it? Who can know it? Oh, how weak is this heart of mine. Strong and stiff and hard as steel with regard to everything carnal, fleshly, earthly, everything. With regard to everything toward which this heart ought to withdraw and flinch, is hard, firm, resolved. With regard to all things spiritual, how weak. Set your affection. Let's set your heart on things above. My son, give me your heart. And the response ought to be immediate and lasting. Oh, my God, yes! I will set my affection on Christ alone. I will give my heart to Christ alone. But daily, I find myself setting my affection elsewhere and giving my heart elsewhere to my own self. The heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. and we're weak-handed. The hand, somebody said the hand represents work. It does every work except in this book. Every work except in this book. Do you know what the hand represents in this book? Faith. The hand is that by which we receive any gift offered. Somebody, get your gift. My birthday, folks, get me gifts. I just reach, get them. Just take them with the hand. That's exactly how we receive Christ. Believing Him. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The hand speaks of faith in Christ, by which we lay hold on the Son of God, by which we hold Him, and we have received Him. We have laid hold on Him. We hold Him in the hand of faith. But oh, how weak this hand. How weak this hand. I'm so thankful that that same faith which speaks of us receiving and holding Christ is described as seeing Christ. It's even described as something less than that. It's described as looking to Christ. Whosoever sees Him lives. But that's not all. If any man look, he shall live. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm the Lord. I'm God. Beside me there is none else. Look. It takes eyes to see. But a stone cold blind man can look. 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 Weak in my head, weak in my heart, weak in faith. And the more I realize that, the more I understand that it is not my hold of Christ that saves me, but His hold of me. It is not my holding Him that preserves me, but Him holding me. It is not my seeing Him that keeps me, but His seeing me. It is not my looking to Him that gives me life, but His looking to me. Oh, but Brother Don, don't we have to look? Yes. Don't we have to see? Yes. Don't we have to hold? Yes. Yes. And we're responsible to see and responsible to hold fast. But the only reason we see is because He continually gives us light. And the only reason we hold fast is because He continually holds us. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Now I want you to see this. I want you to see this fact clearly. Verse 7. We have this treasure as the God of glory opened the windows of heaven and opened your heart and dropped into your soul the treasure of His grace and salvation. Look where He dropped it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. If you went to the auction Saturday night somewhere, and they had found some clay pots somebody had made. Not rare, exquisite clay pots, just clay pots. Just clay pots. Some child's kindergarten class pottery. Just clay pots. And you picked that up and looked at it. Well, that looks like something one of my kids might have made. Let me look at that. And you drop it. and it shatters. That's the word used here. We have this treasure in broken, empty, dirty clay pots. That's where God put it. In broken, empty, dirty clay pots. And He did it deliberately, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Don't be surprised if you're made deeply and daily sensible of your weakness, of being frail and broken and dirty vessel into which God communicates the treasure of His grace. Don't be overcome and overwhelmed by the fact that you are startled by your inward corruptions. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Our souls cleave to the dust. The depth of our soul's depravity, the corruption of our hearts, the evil of our nature should not destroy our confidence in God, but only increase it. I used the word should, didn't I? I promise you, the knowledge of who and what you are will not destroy, but will only increase your confidence in God. I promise you. Man who thinks he stands is headed for a fall. They who think more highly of themselves than they ought to think are utterly useless. This is the thing I want you to see. It is the will of God. It is by divine arrangement that the heavenly treasure of God's grace and salvation in Christ, that which makes us rich for eternity, is lodged in broken pieces of empty, dirty clay pots like you and me, so that no flesh glory in His presence, so that you have nothing in which to boast, nothing you can stick your thumbs in your lapels or pop your suspenders and strut and say, "Now there, look here, I'm better than you." I'm not like other men are. I'm not like these fellows are. I'm not perfect. I wouldn't say that. Larry Brown, I ain't like him. Huh. Now look at the strength promised. Back here in our text. I will strengthen them in the Lord. The strength he's talking about here is Christ Himself. Christ is made of God unto us strength, just as He is made of God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Moses sang, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and it become my salvation." When God comes in saving mercy, He makes Christ to be our strength. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He's become my salvation." Christ is the strength of our hearts. Christ is the strength of our heads, our understanding. Christ is the strength of our hands, the strength of faith. He has made Himself our strength by making Himself weakness before God. Turn to Psalm 22. How does God make His Son to be strength? He made His Son to be strength for us in exactly the same way He made His Son to be righteousness and salvation and sanctification and redemption for us. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cursed tree and was made sin for us, when He bore the horrid wrath of God's terrible justice till justice was fully satisfied, when He was forsaken by His Father as our substitute, when He claimed our iniquities, our transgressions, our guiltinesses as His own because He was made sin for us. Listen to what He says in Psalm 22:15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. You see, weakness is directly connected with sin. I'm not talking about physical weakness, though certainly in this case that's included. But weakness, spiritual weakness, Darvin, is directly associated with sin. You can't separate the two. When Adam was in the garden, he didn't know anything about weakness. He knew nothing about spiritual weakness, moral weakness, physical weakness, mental weakness, heart weakness. He knew nothing about weakness. He was made a perfect man. But as soon as sin is found in him, he begins to wither and die. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us, He was made weakness for us. And He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And He was made weakness that He might be made our strength. Turn to Isaiah chapter 12. When the Lord God visits redeemed sinners in saving grace by the mighty operations of His Holy Spirit in irresistible, omnipotent mercy, Christ is made our strength. Isaiah 12. And in that day Thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee, though Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. How is that? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He's my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. When my strength and hope perished from the Lord, He made Christ my strength. This is how the Spirit of God describes the transformation work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the sinner. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, out of weakness we are made strong. Out of weakness we're made strong. When the Lord Jesus has made strength to His people, God gives this commandment. You can read it later in Joel chapter 3. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. That's kind of like Don Fortner standing up here and saying, I'm righteous. That's kind of like Don Fortner standing up here saying, I'm without sin. Well, you can't say that. Oh, I better say that. I better be able to declare that. In Jesus Christ, I am righteous. With His spotless garments on, holy as God's own Son. In Jesus Christ, I am without sin. He put my sin away, and they shall never be charged to me. Never. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, I've just spent a good bit of time acknowledging my weakness. Let me tell you something. I am strong. I am strong. So strong that I can say with absolute confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Not the silly nonsense you see in religious world. When I was in school in Missouri, they had a judo team or a karate team. I forgot which it was. They go around and have evangelism classes. I know fellows who get involved in this stuff today. And they go put on demonstrations at high school and break bricks with their heads and kick through boards with their feet and all that stupid stuff and call it, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." That ain't it. But in Christ I'm strong because He's my strength. You're going to persevere? I reckon I will because Christ is my strength. You're going to continue believing to the end? I reckon I will because Christ is my strength. Can you understand what God reveals in His Word? I reckon I can because Christ is my strength. Can you walk with God? I reckon I can. Christ is my strength. This is what it is to be, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and I pray for you, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. It is to have Christ dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength? Then, when Christ becomes our strength, when He's made strength unto us, He strengthens us. I read something, I can't tell you how many times I've read it, but it never really grasped me like it did early this morning. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 3, listen to this. Jacob took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. That unborn baby flexed his muscles and grabbed hold of Esau's heel and pulled him back. No. But Christ His strength did. Christ His strength did. When Christ is made strength to us, He strengthens us. He says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." O Lord, be gracious unto us, the prophet cried. We have waited for Thee. Be Thou their arm every morning, and our strength also in the time of trouble. God, teach me and teach you. Every day when you open your eyes and start to get out of bed and slosh a little water on your face or take that first sip of coffee, remember, "I will strengthen them," He said. "I will strengthen them." You get up in the morning, start to get dressed for work. You got a hard day's work ahead of you, but man, I've done this in the past. I've got strength enough to get it done today. And you go on. After you've done it for a little while, Brother Darvin was talking, I think, just privately to me. It might have been in one of the messages, I can't remember. But he said he used to be go to bed midnight, get up 5 o'clock in the morning, ready to hit it again. Because you've got plenty of strength. Got plenty of strength. It's beginning to fade now, though, isn't it? That happens. But not with Christ our strength. Not with Christ our strength. When you get up in the morning, hear Him say, "I will strengthen them." I tell you 3 things you've got to face new every day. Every day. New temptation. And the Lord God says, "I will strengthen you. I'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Every day, some new affliction. It may be a small thing, it may be a huge thing. Every day, some new affliction, some new heartache, some new trouble. Every day. The Lord says, "I'll strengthen them." Every day, some new duty, some new work to be performed, some new benefit to be given, some new act of worship before God, some new mercy to one of His people, some conflict within that must be resolved, some lust that must be subdued. And Christ says, I'll strengthen them. Now look at the text again. Look what it says. They shall walk up and down in His name, saith the Lord. Walking implies ease, comfort, confidence. Walk. When I was a boy, I used to go off to Redfield Boys Club. I was just a kid. When I was 6 years old, I'd walk over there several miles from home. Things were different in those days. Get up and leave just a crack of daylight. Be gone all day long and come home. Stay just as late as I could get by with staying out. By the time I'd get home, it'd be getting dark. And there was a shortcut. There's a shortcut. Now remember, this is back in 1956, 57. And black folks and white folks didn't mix together much. And there was a shortcut going down this alley, right through the section of town where all the black folks lived. And I wasn't wanted there any more than they were wanted on in the street where I lived. But I was a big boy. And I wasn't near as afraid of them as I was of being late when I got home and my mama catching me. I'd start down this road, and I'd get just a little ways down that road, and I'd get to picking up my pace. And then I'd see a light come on, I'd go. I mean run like a dog was on my trail. Ran fast to get out of there. How come? Because I was scared to death. I don't do much running anymore. Anywhere, because Christ is my strength, and I'm walking up to glory, though I walk down here. Walking up to God, though I walk down into trouble. Walking up to everlasting happiness, though I walk down in sorrow. Walking up to life. When I walk down to the grave, take the word of God home with you. He says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in His name, trusting Christ, saith the Lord. Amen.